All right, welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you. God, we gotta get some new music. I know you're all with me on that. I think the Homestead one needs banjo music, as I think I've said. I'm gonna have to call Steve Martin, I think, on that one. See if his banjo could get us an intro. I don't know what to do for this one, but thank you for joining me on PRQ Timelines. Please call in as you're inspired and excited. On this show, call in at 888-627-6008. What we are working on with this show, we do our best, is to show sequence of events that we get involved in that may not be ones we prefer, but we end up participating with them because we have to react to the situation, maybe survival, maybe feelings, maybe emotions, relationships, etc. So I'll give you an example of a timeline that's one an individual did not prefer but felt wanted to participate in, knowing full well they were in a timeline that was one they didn't prefer, yet the outcome they felt they could solve because, frankly, they feel they're doing it through inspiration. I'll give you an example. So we know someone, the PRQ team knows someone that chartered a boat recently, and the boat didn't work very well, and it was going to be chartered for 10 days. And 2 days into the charter, the boat didn't work very well. A lot of calls into the service provider. They attempted to resolve the situation, and then the charter is parked at the dock, and the individual who chartered it said, you know, guys, you're going to have to fix this boat, or I'm just going to go home. And that's what the individual did, and also allowed their friends to stay on the boat for the rest of the time at the dock. He utilized the boat, just sitting at the dock. And the purveyor of the vessel showed up and said, get off the boat. You're not competent at maintaining the boat, etc. Okay, so these are assumptions made from the purveyor that said to the renter of the vessel, in this case, that you're not competent. That's why the boat's not working, etc., etc. All right, so the victims in this case are the people who are just friends of the chartering the buyers who aren't there anymore. These people now are displaced from the vessel, and they didn't do anything wrong. They're just sitting on the boat. It's not a very big vessel. It's just a small boat that you tootle around in. So you got to go. You don't have a place to stay. Get out of here. The guy who's running the boat sucks, and he needs to go. And these are all assumptions being made by my statements because there's variables to it. So now we have two parties, one who chartered the vessel who isn't there, didn't get his 10 days, didn't get her 10 days of chartering, and the people who were on the boat didn't get to stay on the boat for the remaining 7 days. So now, does someone owe the purveyor or does someone own the buyer, in this case of the charter? So now we're in timeline court. The boat doesn't work. The purveyor says, of the charter says, yeah, it does. You just can't figure out how to work it. Okay, great. So now it's he said, she said. So a timeline that you could potentially say now is I'm going to sue you and or I want my money back. So if you get on that timeline, what, and you want your money back in this case, what's the value of money in the first place versus the time you could be proactively creating another future for yourself? Now, the people who are displaced from the boat, that are their friends, they could also do the same thing. I'm going to sue you. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to push back. You told me to get off a boat that my buddy already bought it. My girlfriend already bought it, so I should be able to stay here. How is it that I would? So anyway, long story short, here's an example of an alien timeline, because I can control the minds and assumptions of, in this case, the purveyor, with emotions, because they're using timelines to control the outcome of procurement, and you're going to fight back. I bought this. So envision renting a car, and the car doesn't work, and you say, I'm in North Dakota, I rented it in South Dakota, you guys are going to have to pick this baby up and give me a new one. And they say, no, you just don't know how to run a car. That's pretty much what these individuals went through. All right, so what do you do in those situations? Will you just go get another car, or you're stuck in North Dakota? Not to be rude to North Dakota people. But it's cold, man, and I need another car. So what do we do in these situations is what I love talking about today is, I'm stuck on the road somewhere. Your car I rented doesn't work. Do I go in a completely different direction, or do I fight the rental car company to get me another car? So these are fun conversations for me, because I feel that we're savvier and smarter if we just didn't rent a car in the first place. So if we realized why we're renting cars, or in this case, renting a boat, I actually can prove that this timeline would have been prevented that I explained to you if the reason for chartering the boat was for the right purpose. So the reason that these people got in trouble with chartering this boat is because they didn't want to charter a boat in the first place. And two, they didn't want to go where they were going to go. They didn't want to do it at all, because they were chartering a boat to go pick up children from a divorced family. They didn't want to do that. And that created a timeline that wasn't for vacation, wasn't for inspiration. It was for requirements and necessity for participating with another family that is estranged, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of dialogue there. So if the boat was chartered because it was inspirational, exciting, can't wait to go on vacation, the outcome of this timeline would have been completely different versus I have to go and pick up my kids that are abroad and bring them back. So that's my startup of this show today. Hopefully we have some calls. But if you guys have, you not gender specific, thank you so much. If you have timelines that you could exemplify today, can be real estate too, the homesteading. Homesteading is a great example too, because if you listen to the callers in the first show, I bought a house because I could afford it versus I can't wait to live there makes a different timeline. So if I was to buy a home because that's what I can afford and this is where I'm working and this is by the way, I have a great job and I'm very successful versus I can't wait to live here and I'm going to because it's where I want to live versus I have to live here and where I have to afford and because this is a good place for the economic situation is completely different than when you look at an inspirational decision in that timeline versus an emotional one that has to do with the intrinsics of survival. So I hope that made sense for everybody, and that's why we do these shows. So any examples you have, we'll learn from your experiences is my goal here, and to do a root cause analysis of when we initially made the decision, seems like it was now, but you'll actually see that the timelines that you get on here on Planet Earth, this type of human, we actually get on a timeline that's about 10 steps before the actual timeline you experience. I hope that made sense. Anyway, BBS Radio, if you can give us some calls, that would be great, assuming people want to talk to me. I will jump to the first unread message. Thank you so much. The way that the PRQ team is working on timelines, I'll give you another example. PRQ team, they got excited and said, let's get another office and establish it in a geography that we would prefer. We're really excited about a couple of geographies. So here's an example of how synchronicity works when you pick a timeline that is through the heart. the PRQ team says, boy, that would be cool to have an office right in this geography, and runs into the architect for a dream location for you guys or ourselves, and recognizes that it's a home that they don't, a piece of real estate, land, pretty good sized piece of land, 25 acres, that we could utilize for you guys or otherwise, and runs into an architect just looking at an open office space that this, we assume the architect owns or has a relationship with, so that we can use it for homesteading. All right. So what are when you start looking at synchronicity, when they're inspired to find us another office to open up for homesteading, and an architect says, oh, I know where there's a mansion for you guys to work out of too, and it's going to auction immediately because fraud was created on the East Coast of America, banksters. Why don't you guys just take the house too? And homestead, of course, but that's our agenda, not the architect's. But how would we have found the opportunity if we weren't inspired, is what I'm getting to. So that inspiration with PRQ team initiated an understanding and awareness of another property that we should probably be paying attention to. And by the way, we're open to negotiations that are very creative, so nobody has to pay land taxes, sales tax, title insurance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all the mortgage problems. And we don't necessarily need to go through a contractual language like the mortgage industry steers us to do. So anyway, so you got a pro one and you got a negative one, but you kind of see how synchronicity works. Is we can't wait to help you guys with homesteading. Well, so the more we play with it and focus on it, or timelines, or all the submittals you guys give us, we love them all. So never stop sending us in information. Never stop your prescription, your subscription. The inspiration and synchronicity that we'll all gain from it is just from our dream state. It'll be really fun. It's we're starting to get there. We're starting to get our feet underneath us when we start dreaming together. And I enjoy it and love it so much. Anyway, here we are at PRQ Timelines. Any timeliners out here today? I think I said it right. Telephone number is 888-627-6008. All right, getting down the list here. Forgive me. Let's see. We have a caller list. Let's start with New Jersey. Sorry you had to keep waiting. Do I have to be on a timeline, or do I need to create my own timeline to avoid the dark timeline? That one's good. Susie, are you there from New Jersey?
I am here. Hello, hello, Q.
This does not sound like this does not sound like a New Jersey girl. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm actually from Maryland, but lived in New Jersey my whole life.
All right, I got you. I got you, didn't I? All right. This is a cool question. This is a cool question. Teach me how you perceive a timeline and or the pros and cons of timelines.
Okay. So what I've been experiencing is living from my heart, doing what I want to do every day. And I love it. Lose track of time. Don't even know what day it is. Not even hungry, missing meals. And then I'll get the proverbial text or call from another family member, and it just interrupts my flow, my energy, because I have to stop and take care of them. So if we have to be on a timeline, can I create a timeline that they can join me on? Because I know I can't tell them what to do. I can only suggest it to them. And I do suggest all the time, the heart, the mind, the heart drop, and it's like I'm a repeating record for them every week. So, like now, what I do is I let the calls go to voicemail, and then I answer, I listen, and take care of when I'm ready, not when they're pinging me. You know what I mean? So I just want a timeline where I don't have those interruptions anymore, especially when I'm in my highest vibration. That sounds simple.
Yeah, great job. Great job. So when, and that's why it's so tough for me to be negative about communication, because obviously I'm using communication right now. When I don't use communication, time, the delineation of time is completely changed. Is that fair to say in your life?
Absolutely.
So if you just go sit in a log cabin, your day, the duration of a day is changing. Is that fair to say?
The duration.
When you're counting minutes, I have to be here. I have to go somewhere versus I'm just going to be somewhere is completely different. Is that fair?
Yes.
Right. And so that's why I'm always encouraging people to get out of nature and just sit there and what happens. And then, of course, I get cute. Don't be an idiot. Nothing's going to happen. I'm just sitting in nature. Let's not be it. But you should actually see the expansion of your peace energy through yourself should be able to control not only daylight, the sun, like everything, but it's going to combine with nature. So nature is also doing it with you. And I'm not endorsing leaving your lives. What I'm saying is let's just get practice on how to use our heart when we are around all of our other relationships. And that's what it feels like you're doing to teach us today, aren't you?
I hope so. I know so. I'm very blessed. My husband and I live on a nice piece of property. We spend more time outside than we do inside. And we grow our own vegetables. I have a flower garden for the pollinators. And we're barefoot constantly, and people think we're nuts. And we hold on to our trees, and we can feel the energy literally tingle through your arms. Especially when we're trying to heal. And that's our happy place. And I love the land here, not to get to the homesteading part, but I don't so much love the house, but I love the land, absolutely love the land. And I feel like I get a lot of energetics just walking outside. And
you betcha.
Now,
how do you do it? Now, how do you sustain that when you open that little machine and... Your children, your friends said you're this or that. I can actually so all the information that we have on the military side and otherwise, we're quite convinced that the mind control that is going through other individuals sending you the text, you cannot rely that it's actually them. And I'm sorry to inform you of that. So when your best friend Susie sends you a text and she's on the machine way more than you and not doing what you're doing, Susie may not be Susie that hour, even though the text is a beautiful text. So that's why I'm so heavy-handed about the iPhones. So if I can submit a thought in your head about reactive information and then you respond to it, I got you hooked up. I got you mind controlled too. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which makes another timeline. So when you're out with the, it's not about these machines being bad, is we don't recognize when it's false advertisement or propaganda and so forth. We're so fast, we don't recognize it. It would be one way to look at it. Does that resonate?
Yes. And nine times out of 10, we're leaving our phones in the house when we're outside.
Yeah, and so what are we going to do? Do we get rid of them all together? Then I'm of no help because no one's going to listen to me.
Right. No, I understand that. I definitely do, because with my mom, I will get random, I call them random neurofirings, and they're just out of the blue.
That is so good. Could you say that one more time? That might be my next show. Say it again.
Random neuron firings.
That is awesome. So, by the way, where is my cupcake? That kind of stuff.
It's just random. Because she swears that she doesn't text me that information, she won't remember it. And I'm like, for a reason.
Yeah, that's not crazy at all, is it? That's not crazy.
Yeah. And, like, I remember you saying in the past, sorry, in another show, that, other people, it'll be difficult to be around people that are still, like, in the matrix, basically, worrying about the bills and where they're living and that kind of stuff. So I know they can only hear my words. They can't unhear them. But I'm sure other people have the same issue. It wears on you, and then I find myself having to do a bazillion commands to get back to peace energy. But it's much quicker for me to do it now.
So that is the purpose of this show is, that is the purpose of the show is why this conference call, why do we keep participating with individuals who put us on timelines that are not ours? How do we do it? And still enjoy, because there's a lot of people we enjoy from time to time, how do we keep them at bay, so to speak, and or enjoy them when we want to?
Right. Yeah,
because they just keep hammering the phone and call me. By the way, I'm a squeaky wheel. So for me, you can't win this game. But so there's only one solution is you only communicate with your people, not the ones you don't want to. I can tell you that's how I do it, at least, is I only communicate with people that have the capability that you have.
All right, so let me ask you this. Out of the four family members I have left, siblings and a mother, two siblings, no problem. I don't talk to them anymore. It's a beautiful relationship. It's wonderful. They're living their life. They leave me alone. I leave them alone. I wish them well. I still love them. And then I have my mom and my other sibling, who I would love for them to go with their life the same way. But it's like, I feel like I'm a magnet.
Can I hold you there real quick? Okay, so sure, Mama Bear. Okay, so when we look at epigenetics, are you the firstborn?
No, I'm the last.
Third, you're third, right? But you're the one who's most involved, is that correct?
Yes, I have older twins, boy and girl, then a middle sister, and then myself.
Okay, but you're the most involved because you're the baby,
yes.
Right? Okay.
I guess. And I'm most responsible is a better way to put it, I guess.
Now, watch this. This one's really fun. When the siblings all get together and bitch about mom, you're the matriarch. Is that correct? You'd be the first to respond
to
the 911, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens? Watch this. What happens if nobody calls you ever again regarding mom? What would happen?
Oh, I'd be so happy.
But it's not going to happen, is it? Because mom will keep calling everybody until they get to you, correct?
Yes, yes.
All right, yes. So what if no one talks to mom? No, just watch this. Watch this timeline. This is how epigenetics works. What if no one ever talked to mom again? What would happen? Mama would die. She'd be fine or she'd die?
No,
we don't know. We don't know.
Oh, she would be fine. I know it. Because she's a fighter. Yeah.
Okay.
She'd be fine.
Okay. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Why don't you try it for a week? See what happens. I double dare you.
Okay. I will do it.
Okay. The phone goes off for 1 week or you tell all your peers there, all your family, don't talk to mom for 1 week and let's see what. And I guarantee you're going to get 1,000 text messages, 1,000 voicemails of things that are really important that will solve themselves, won't they?
Right. Yes. And I want to confirm something with you about what you said about the AI sending, not things from her, not texts from her. And a lot of times in the past, in other instances, she would say, she would call me and, did you just call me? And I said, no, I haven't talked to you. Or I'll get a random text and she'll say, oh, I didn't send you that text.
Yeah, that so should be really that, common that, now for all of us are getting that now pretty much. Is so let me make sure I am positive on this too. So most of the time, the manufactured timelines on phones, it was engineered once the, so the way they did it, well, I'll just use the Apple side. The way they did it is they're taking a course of massive amounts of communication and then standardizing what would trigger a timeline. So if, so today you have a text message that comes from Jane, your best friend, saying you missed me for coffee. I thought I invited you. Is not the real timeline issue. That's not the game at all now. The game is to get you emotionally charged because you missed coffee invitation and so forth. It's now an emotional weapon. Does that make sense?
All right. So yeah, but is that because they know that we're in peace energy?
Right. So you're fine. So you got a text message saying, hey, how come you didn't come to coffee that I invited you to? That you, so they'll invert the text messages too. The AI will invert them, and it'll look like you sent them a message, and now you're late for coffee because you agreed to go to coffee, is in the algorithm at Apple. That's in all those computer systems.
Right. So I don't want to take up everybody's time, but. So we will always be on a timeline as long as we are here.
As long as we are reacting, as long as we are reacting instead of inspired is correct. Yes. So this is a body that's very bizarre. This is going to be one of, to be very positive, you are more powerful than this body. And so we're growing through this body. You're calling it the awakening process. That's garbage. You're far more proactive, far more productive than the awakening process that's been sold to you. Yet this type of brain is so well at attaching to emotions. It's tricky to favor inspiration and peace energy over reactive energy is the best I can do. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yep, total. Mm-hmm.
So how do I stay so excited to go hug the tree when I have to go to, you know, Walmart to get another bag of apples? It's very, very weird here for us for the most part. It's very bizarre because we've always stayed in peace energy. And I'm not going to be Debbie Downer here. I'm saying we can work through this, but it's inspiration is the only one that you can standardize on. Peace and now creativity. That's it. If we would standardize on creativity, everything is blissful. I guarantee it.
Great.
I hope that helps.
I appreciate it so much. Love you so much. Thank you so much.
Love you, love you, love you, love you. That was so fun. What a great call, BBS. Thanks. reason that call is so important is the normal life that we experience in society, it's usually not us is the problem, is it? We're interacting with so many other people creating timelines that are not always our greatest passion. And okay, Annette from Florida, I am so sorry you had to wait so long. Thank you for your patience. Can we excommunicate an entity? Annette from Florida, please explain your question
hello,
if you're
hello,
still
hello.
There.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me.
You betcha.
Yeah, so can you and the Queen of Hearts, Mermaid, whatever you want to call her now, can you guys teach us how to manifest, to excommunicate all of these evil, timeline, nasty individuals that keep messing up our days? Can you teach us how to outlight them and shine and then they go away?
Yeah, so there's a tremendous weight on my shoulders on this question. Thank you so much for extending it. I've been told by many individuals on the Galactic Council, Galactic Federation, why don't you just go and make the call and wipe them all out? All right, so what could we do? Okay, what would happen if we all said, let's destroy bad beings, is basically what you're saying, right?
Perfect, yeah.
Let's go destroy them all. All right, and so well, we're going, so now we're going to go and, yep, so we're going to go destroy all dark beings on this dark planet, and or we're going to assume it's a dark planet. We're going to assume that there is darkness here. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're obviously not of the light.
Okay, so now you're in a conundrum because you're the one who's actually empowering them if you believe they exist. Very tricky, isn't it?
Very much, very much. But like, look how Queen of Hearts made the whole world enjoyed her, loved her, shared her joy, and then in same turn mourned. And we saw the energetics of the realm change drastically on her death, right? I mean, one person can have that kind of power.
And that is correct. That is correct. Okay, so this is we work a lot on this subject. So make the call, dumbass, has been said to me many times. Make the call, and I say, if you keep participating with them, there's no because everybody's just as powerful as each other. So when you keep participating with them is the horsepower. And then I have a phone call with you.
Yeah,
and
I have
now I'm having participation with. Now, this is not about you per se. What I'm explaining is when I go to the grocery store, that individual, the cashier, is participating with darkness. And now I'm participating with the cashier, is what I'm doing my best to explain. So if you were to spend your entire time fighting duality, you're just going to get more duality. And so when I sit on many of the Galactic Council's Federation, if you like, meetings, they all criticize, why don't you just rip them? Because we do have the horsepower to do it that way. It does not work, though, because now you have destroyed exactly what you were trying to defend yourself from, and or you are no better than them. You just create more duality. That's how powerful we are. When you participate with duality, it just creates more duality. It's a very tricky statement. So the only weapon you really have is not to participate with duality. Does that make sense? That is your horsepower.
Yeah, I guess. I just wish we could all just smile, hug, kumbaya, and that'll make them all just want to leave.
Now, there's four individuals. Like- there's four individuals this week I would like to go drown. I guarantee you. And I know it would solve a lot of problems for a lot of people. But now I'm no better than them. Right? And so I actually study what's going to happen to that dark entity when it drowns. Let's see. So now I'm back in the same question that you just gave. So if I drown these four individuals who are creating great hell on this planet,
yeah,
what happened? Is that a solution? Now, you're talking to someone who has the memory of doing it that way in the millions, and I will never, ever, ever recover from it. To know what it's like to watch a million bad dudes die on another planet was not the solution. It doesn't work. There's no way around being a creative force in the universe and wiping out an entire military force. That is not the solution.
But the Queen of Hearts, her shine was so great that it inspired generations of with just beauty and heart and love. And you talk the same way. How come we can't just outshine them?
Well, that might be another subject, but All I'm getting at is we sustain light. That's our role here. And that's the only solution in our eyes until proven otherwise. We increase the light. When we go to a planet, we increase the light. Your capabilities are being increased just by this call. We keep increasing, increasing. And that is the displacement of the dark is our assessment right now. And there's no other, and we're not budging on it. We're not even going to even come close to budging. All of us need to get more of our light into our existence, and that is the solution.
Thank you. I do have one other question.
Please go ahead.
So if we all have homestead, then what about the community center, which is such a strength to individuals all put together, having that time and that place that they can all share the food, the joy, the interaction. If we all just have homesteads, then the community center as we know it is gone. Is there a specific process to have community centers besides the homestead?
It's the same thing. So let's go down to downtown, little town, America, Canada, whatever. Why wouldn't we just homestead the city, the town, the township, and utilize it however we want? And one entity can be the proprietor of it or successor of it. You can success any individual. Why do we care about ownership? So if you want to take your 160-acre homestead and make a community center, was the solution we all worked on in the PRQ group is you make your own community center if that's what you want to do, or go to your existing legacy community centers, townships, cities, whatever, and patent and homestead it so you don't, you can utilize it however you want and let the entity that wants to do that do that. So the homesteading is designed exactly for community centers, exactly for collaboration centers. Who cares where it's at? It's the desire and the inspiration, wouldn't you say?
Agreed. Thank you. And again, thank you for all of your love and light and giving your time, even though time doesn't exist, to us. Have a beautiful, beautiful weekend.
I love you so much, and thank you. Never stop reaching out to us. We love you. We learn and feel and see so much from you. Thank you so much. That was a great call. Thank you, BBS. All right, moving on the list here. I think I better get to Dana from Vancouver. Vancouver, eh? British Columbia on line four, I think it is. Had a near-death experience, knows they are on a new timeline, looking for purpose. Wait a minute. If you don't die, then why did you say you had a near-death experience? You got to prove to me you had a near-death experience.
Hi, Hugh. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you for giving me this call.
Thank you. The specialists, everyone just couldn't, like, the severity of my brain bleed, I wasn't supposed to survive. I have no long-term disability or anything. And it was just before COVID, and I lost my memory when COVID started. I just knew that this is not right. Like, and it was interesting because I was able to express how I feel to people and let them know that this isn't right. And yet, I got away with, she's crazy, which was fine. I didn't take it personal or anything. And it's just, everything was amazing. It's just given me a whole new look on life. And then listening to you for the past few years, it's just like, I just need to let you know that I'm here and I want to be able to do whatever I can. I know our bodies are self-healing. I was really interested in the celestial chambers. But trying to convince people that we can heal, they don't need it. They need, like, baby steps. So I'm just ready for whatever needs to happen, and I'm here.
Do you mind if I ask you some questions?
Go for it.
So how do you feel that you healed? Okay, so did you have an aneurysm?
I had a seizure, three seizures, stroke, brain bleed, and something else. I can't remember what it was.
Okay. Your circulatory system stopped rotating. Basically, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So now, How do you feel it worked when the spirit said, I don't want to do this, or I do want to? So what could you give us, not to make it mechanical, but certainly there was something that happened in you to rectify this. Could you identify that?
I'm not sure I understand that question. I feel
okay,
that.
Okay, you're going through hell. You're about to die. You're going through hell. You're about to die. Something changed.
No.
What was the change that helped you recover?
No, I think I was able to use the head injury as an excuse to express and help wake people up and let them know that, like, hey, this may be hell on earth, but we can make it better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. Like,
outstanding
also,
job.
I was also told that I was attacked. And that's like, they can't get me. Like, I'm here. Like, I am so powerful. And I also, because my dad passed a year prior, like, I know that when we die, we don't die. Our light leaves our body and we go wherever we'd like to. I know, I understand mm-hmm. that. But I did a QHHT session, and that really helped me recognize, like, we are so powerful. And I just need to know what I need to do to share this.
Right on. When you ask your spirit to help you, what have been some of the outcomes you've experienced?
I've always been powerful, even before I asked my spirit to increase my life force energy. I know the power of thought. I had a successful business for 20 years. I had energy in my building that helped me. Like, I've never been in fear of anything. And also, too, I was adopted, so I don't feel like I belong to anything. I'm just here doing what I need to be doing, but I just kind of need some guidance. And what am I supposed to be doing? I had to lose my business because of COVID. I'm working in the film industry now. It's not my cup of tea. And I'm also homeless because I got kicked out because of COVID, my awful landlord. So I'm all about the homesteading. I'm all about healing. I'm just like, hello.
Okay, so your question is... You're on
what
a new timeline, looking for purpose. You're looking for purpose. So you're looking for purpose is what you're on a new timeline, looking for purpose. What does that mean?
That's a tough question, because whatever I do, I enjoy. I love being alive. So
now,
if I can help people and animals.
You know what I would say to that?
What would you say?
You forget everything.
I always
so
forget
that
everything.
You could, because you're just right now. Isn't that your purpose right now? You might comb your hair, brush your teeth today, but you're just gonna forget you even did that, aren't you?
I often do. Yes.
Right, and so that's basically why we're doing these shows is. So the only way to get on a timeline is to worry or doubt, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but I don't have worry. Like, there's everyone, terrible things happen, but there's always a positive side. I don't worry about it. Everything
outstanding
falls
job.
In place every single time.
Thanks a lot. Any other questions for me?
No, I don't have any other questions. My boss just walked into the room. I'm at work, and so she doesn't know I'm on the phone.
Tell your boss, I love your boss. Thank you for calling in. That's so amazing. What a great would. Please don't stop. No autographs today, though. Outstanding job, BBS. Thank you for that call, Dana from Vancouver. I think I said it right, Dana. I always like Dana's. Dana Furniture. Yeah, pretty cool. Like Swedish furniture. All right, let's move on to New York. Let's see. Question, how to turn negative energy from others into self-empowerment. Ooh, this is going to be my hotline from Michael from New York. Question, how to turn negative energy from others into self-empowerment. Okay, go ahead. What do we have?
Thank you for taking my call, Q.
So cool.
I was reading ForThePeople.Space and some material out there by Max Spears. And he said that there's a way of turning someone's negative energy intended toward us into self-empowerment. So I was like, I thought that was perfect for this show because they're trying to get us on a different timeline especially if we're trying to homestead. We're going to go in, file these papers with these offices, and, you know, those folks are going to be talking in their breaths and not wanting us to break the system. So I think some negative energy is going to be coming toward us, in addition to other things that we do. So,
great question. That really, really savvy question. Forgive me for interrupting you. Keep going, please.
No. That was really it. No.
Yeah. So Asha and I, we were working on. We had a small team working on this exact question. So if we're going to push back, aren't we going to get pushed back as well? Is that pretty much your question?
Yes and no, because that kind of falls into what the previous caller was saying, like, you know, how far do you want to push back? Let's kill everybody. Well, if by creating, you know, by doing that just creates more negative energy, then how come it doesn't work the other way around? When they try and push more negativity onto us, why doesn't that create more positivity? You know, and how can we synergize that?
No doubt. I got you. Okay. So when we have pure intentions. I may not have used these words 20 years ago, but today, because we're so powerful now, when our intentions are pure, I want to we'll just use homesteading as an example. I can't wait to go live on that farm across the street. I love it. Not controlling the outcome, but your intentions will be the horsepower, whereas the objector, in this case, will never be able to compete with that. If you're pure in your unbelievable desire from the heart to go live in the farm across the street. Okay, so now playing with it and all the other decision-making is really what we're exercising, would be my opinion. That makes sense?
It does. But it seems
so
like
if I go running down the road to go get milk because we're out of milk, and I just go to the first 7-Eleven, that's way different than I can't wait to go find Farmer John because he has the best milk. You catch my drift?
Right.
It's tricky because you have so many options here in your decision making, and there's so many people here that have been indoctrinated, and if we're going to use real estate as an example, indoctrinated into identity and title, our intentions start getting undermined because our brain says, I have to do it this way because this is the way society does it, is what I'm hearing you say. It's how do I stay within these societal models and use my intentions and my heart at the same time? It gets tricky, doesn't it?
It does.
And so that's why I'm doing this show, is so you're right now are teaching a million people, how do I work within these systems while maybe condemning them just because I'm making decisions with my heart, not trying to destroy or hurt anything. You just go, I know I'm more powerful than these rules and regulations, is what you're telling us.
But those rules and regulations are still there.
Are right? they?
And well, if we have to go down and file our land patents, federal land patents, in county court, you know, they're still there. The county's still there. It's in existence. Until somebody, you suggested, homesteads that and turns it into a community center.
Why not? Yeah, so once we remove their power, that in this case, then it's all over. This is only going to take a few minutes if you guys all stay with me. As soon as I educate us all on defending ourselves, you will only have to do it once. In each county, once you put these guys on notice one time, it's all over. There's no way out of it. And that's what I'm proofing right now with all these files. So just this first round here, I want to just make sure I can educate the defense process, because we only have to do it once. And it's going to be authentic because your intentions are just to live on planet Earth. Not fighting the sheriff, just to live on planet Earth is a timeline that I feel we all deserve. Wouldn't you say?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Any other questions?
If I may, since you asked, there was something else that Max said. He said that the external change is a reflection of internal change, and that once singularity is recognized on a collective level, the game is over. Could you elaborate on what he meant by singularity?
Right. So when we use, so the way you're receiving knowledge right now is identical to every single being on the planet. I said being. That's why it's called a being. A tree, a human, a squirrel. What volume of deliverable you want to utilize that knowledge is what he meant by that. Now, when I sit in my human vessel, I can receive different and different volumes of information than if I'm a Bigfoot or I'm a bird or I'm a dolphin, etc. So depending on how much knowledge you want to receive and utilize is one way to look at that statement. Second, when you're this type of human, you are really, really siloed into individuality because your psychic abilities are going to be extremely powerful. You have an antenna on your head that is so powerful, you can't stop it. There's very few people that can stop the antenna on your head. So now you're in singularity because all you're processing so much information now, or you're not processing anything, is what Max was doing his best to explain. Can you stop processing information? Can you just experience peace while making a decision, is what he did his best to explain. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's a very tricky statement.
More, but yes, thank you.
It's very, very tricky because we're used to not being here is what he's doing. So we're not, this isn't normal for us. It's very unusual to have all this going on. So I have to get off the call. Thank you, BBS Radio. So sorry I couldn't stay longer. Please keep calling in. All right, BBS, we're going to be back at 5 o'clock Central Time. Thank you, BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS Radio and For the People.Space. See you soon. Be back in a couple hours. Bye-bye.